Heavenly Father, bless the preaching of your word. Plant it deep in our hearts that we might have songs to sing in our suffering. Show us the glory of your Son, Jesus, and of his cross. Amen. My God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from saving me? It's okay to feel like God has abandoned you. It's okay to feel that he's not hearing your prayers. It's okay to wonder why he hasn't shown up when you needed him. It is not a sin to have these feelings, and I know that because these words come from the Psalter. They come from the Spirit-scribed hymn book of God's people. And if that weren't enough, which it is, but if that weren't enough, then we can be certain it is not sinful to feel that God has forsaken you, because our Lord Jesus himself hallows these words when he speaks them from his cross. It's remarkable, really. In his moment of deepest agony, Jesus could have said anything. The incarnate Word of God, through whom the very world was spoken into existence. He could have spoken some new and profound truth that no one had ever uttered before. He certainly did that time and time again in his earthly ministry. Instead, Jesus chose to speak words that were written by someone else 1,000 years before. He simply quoted the same hymns that he and everyone else in Israel had been singing their whole lives, which tells you how much the Son of God treasured the Psalms. Which Psalms have we memorized? What words will we have in our own agony, at the time of our own death? What scripture do you have safely stored away that will give song to your suffering when you need it? Now, why does Jesus choose this psalm? Let's go back to Psalm 22 itself and try to get a grasp on it. Psalm 22 begins with the words that Jesus quotes from the cross. My God, why have you forsaken me? And it goes on. Why are you so far from saving me, from the words of my groaning? Oh, my God, I cry by day, but you do not answer, and by night, but I find no rest. If you have suffered, you know this prayer, or you have prayed something similar. You are suffering, you are crying out to God, but he has not come to relieve the suffering. He has not judged the enemy who attacks you. He has not cured the disease that afflicts you. And so you cry out, "Where are you, God?" Now you know, as well as David did, that God is everywhere, that he sees all, that he knows all, that he hears all, that he is sovereign to do whatever he pleases. You know this. I mean, here you are crying out to him. You wouldn't do that if you didn't believe he was there. But regardless of what you know to be true about God's presence, what you experience, what you feel deep in your soul is his absence, is his silence. And so with the psalmist you cry, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from saving me? Many times people would say to Dawn or to me, may the Lord be very present to you in this time. May the presence of the Lord bring you comfort. Now I understood them to be expressing their love for us and their desire that we be granted relief. And so I am thankful for these words. But it got me thinking, what do we mean by that? What would it be like to experience the presence of the Lord? And as I reflected on that, it seems to me that often we equate the presence of the Lord with certain of our feelings, don't we? We often even use those terms to describe it. I hope you feel the Lord's presence. I hope you sense the Lord is present. It makes it sound like this is a feeling, a good feeling, such that if you feel the Lord's presence, you feel calm, you feel comfort, you feel affection, perhaps even happiness. And I think this is why those words struck me in a different way. Because if that is what the presence of the Lord is, a good feeling, then the Lord was not present to me as I watched my wife suffer and die. I did not feel calm. I did not feel comforted. I did not feel loved. I did not feel peace. If that's what the Lord's presence feels like, then what I felt was God's absence. And it seems to me that that was David's experience too. He did not have a feeling, a sense of God's presence, quite the opposite. Look at what he says. Why are you so far from saving me? You do not answer. Be not far from me. Do not be far off. He keeps using the word far. David was experiencing God's absence. So I think in the Bible, the presence of the Lord is either his physical manifestation. You think of the fiery, thundering cloud that descends on Mount Sinai in the temple. And with that one, it's pretty clear when the Lord is present. But other times in the Bible, the presence of the Lord is embodied in other things, in his word given to his people. In his people, as they obey his laws, as they show mercy and justice. He is present in his saving acts when he acts in the past and in the present and in the future. If the Lord was present to me in my suffering, it had to be in these things, in the reading and preaching of his word, in all of you ministering to our needs, I felt the Lord's presence. In the assurance of baptism and the supper and the promises of future resurrection, if God was present, it was in these things, not in my feelings. And in Psalm 22, we see David depending on these external things as well to reassure him that the Lord was indeed present in his suffering. Because in the midst of suffering, the feelings are not ones of peace and calm and comfort. They are, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from saving me? So in response, David runs to God's past acts of deliverance. He says, in you our fathers trusted. They trusted and you delivered them. And probably here David is thinking of the Exodus, but also countless other times when God had delivered Israel in the past. Events that he knew about, that he knew were true. But then the suffering rises again. But I am a worm and not a man, scorned by mankind and despised by the people. And his accusers mock David, and they mock him with the very same questions that he has likely been asking himself. He trusts in the Lord. Let him deliver him. Let him rescue him, for he delights in him. And David's probably thinking, they have a point, Lord. I've been counting on you, but you're not coming through for me. Have I trusted in vain? But again, David runs to the Lord's past faithfulness in his own life. He says, you are he who took me from the womb. You made me trust you at my mother's breasts. He remembers God's past acts of deliverance in his own life. And yet the suffering presses in again. His enemies and his attackers surround him. He compares them to stomping bulls and ravenous lions. So let's do a feelings check, David. Are you feeling the comforting presence of the Lord yet? What does he say? I am poured out like water. All my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax. It is melted within my breast. You lay me in the dust of death. Okay, doesn't sound very peaceful. So he cries out again. But you, O Lord, do not be far off. O you, my help, come quickly to my aid. Save me. And apparently, David receives some kind of deliverance, some kind of answer. It's hard to translate verse 21, but it indicates that somehow God has answered David. God delivered him from his enemies. The battle was won, or the attackers were defeated, or the plot was foiled. We don't know the exact situation of this psalm, but David knows that the Lord answered because somehow he puts an end to the affliction, and so David knows the Lord has acted. He made the suffering stop. And the psalm makes a turn here. It opens up into this long section where David is now looking with hope towards things that will happen in the future. He pictures a worship service where he will tell everyone how God has delivered him. And not just his fellow Israelites, but all the ends of the earth will join this worship service. And not just Israel and not just the nations, but David even says that those who have already died will join in this worship service. He says, all the prosperous of the earth eat and worship. Before him shall bow all who go down to the dust, even the one who could not keep himself alive. So in Psalm 22, the Lord does eventually deliver David and leads him to hope in a glorious worship service to come. And of course, we think of Christ and the future glory that he had awaiting him, even when he is on the cross. The Lord does deliver David, but not before letting David suffer in a season of abandonment and silence and doubt. And when David is in the middle of that suffering, he is honest about how it feels. What he feels is that the Lord has abandoned him, that the Lord is not listening, that the Lord will never come. This is what he feels. Which is why I say to you and to myself, it's okay to feel that way. It's okay to feel abandoned, to feel betrayed, to feel ignored by God. And God gives us permission to feel that way by including Psalm 22 and so many other psalms and passages in the Bible. He is showing us how faithful believers deal with suffering. This is how David felt. It's how thousands of Israelites learned to sing their own sufferings to God. And according to the gospel, it is how Jesus felt as well. He is the greater David. He is the true Israel. And he graciously enters into the songs of David and fleshes out Psalm 22 in astonishing detail, as Matthew showed us in this evening's gospel reading. And because Psalm 22 so closely aligns with the details of Jesus' crucifixion, it has sometimes been called the fifth gospel. Because Jesus, who shared perfect communion with the Father and the Holy Spirit from eternity past, who spoke of the loving unity that he shared with the Father while he was here on earth, this Jesus identified so closely with us in our humanity that in his moment of agony, he took these expressions of abandonment and disappointment on his lips. And rasped them from the cross. Theologians have often speculated whether Christ, speaking of these words, takes on an even deeper meaning than that of David or 1,000 others who sung these songs before him, because the communion that Jesus had with the Father was so much deeper than ours. It must have been infinitely more disturbing for him to be forsaken. And that may be the case. There are deep mysteries here that we cannot fathom. What I do know is this. Jesus singing of the psalm is different from David's in this regard. In Psalm 22, David was eventually delivered from death. When Jesus took up this song on the cross, he was not. On that day, Jesus was, as the psalm says, the one who could not keep himself alive. Or perhaps more accurately, he was the one who chose not to keep himself alive. For he had to die in our place. He had to die in order that death itself might die. But make no mistake, on Good Friday, Christ was forsaken. He was not delivered. He was given over to death. When he cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me? The response was silence. Over the past few months, I've spent a lot of time reading the Psalms. And whenever I come to these turns in the Psalms where David is delivered from his affliction, where he is saved from death, when the Lord rescues him, all I can think is, why not Don? You heard David. Why didn't you hear us? You delivered David. Why didn't you deliver Don? And I don't know the answer to that. God's thoughts are beyond my thoughts, his ways beyond my ways. But I know this, that the same was true for Jesus on the cross. He was not delivered from death. The cup was not taken from him. He was not spared the pit or the fowler's snare, but was cast into the gaping jaws of death and the ravenous mouth of the grave. He was forsaken. His prayer was not answered. He was given over to death. He shared in Dawn's sufferings just as she did in his. And my friends, the same will be true of me and true of all of you. Christ suffers death with us, and we with him. Now, I'm not saying that this knowledge suddenly fixes everything, that it takes the pain away. It hasn't for me. But it does tell me that whether we can feel it or not, even when we are suffering, even when we feel like he has forsaken us, God is present, and he loves us. And we know this because of Jesus on the cross. If God the Son himself, the second person of the Trinity, if he also suffered, if he also was forsaken, if he also cried out, if he was mocked and scorned and pierced, if he was not delivered from death, it cannot be because God was not present, for he is God. It cannot be because God didn't love his Son, for this is what he speaks to us at Christ's baptism. God was present. He did love his Son, and he did not forsake him forever. We know this because 3 days later, the Father raised Jesus up in glory. And 40 days later, he took him into heaven and seated him on the throne of all creation. And now the Father calls the living and the dead to feast with and worship his beloved Son for all eternity. It's okay to feel that God has forsaken you. It's okay to feel like he hasn't delivered you in the way you think he should. It's okay to feel like your prayers are not heard. Christ on the cross shows us two things. That it is okay to cry out this way to God. And he shows us that the gospel is true, even when we can't see it. God is with us, and he does love us. And he will ultimately deliver us all from death, according to his promise. Through his beloved Son, Jesus our Lord. Would you pray with me? Lord Jesus, have mercy on us. Give us faith. Hold us fast. Deliver us from death and bring us with you and all your saints to eternal glory, we pray. Amen. Would you please rise? We will pray the prayer that is printed for you on the screen and in your bulletins. Almighty God, look with mercy on your family, for whom our Lord Jesus Christ was willing to be betrayed and given over to the hands of sinners and to suffer death upon the cross, who now lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. We sing hymn number 178, O Sacred Head, Now Wounded.